Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. ARCA and NASCAR hit the high banks of the Daytona International Speedway. World of Outlaws, late models, and sprint cars open their season. Modifieds and late models go green on the Florida pavement. We've got Florida Speed Weeks covered. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, February 20th, 2017, from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds. Thanks for joining us tonight. A little bit early before the bottom of the hour, but that gives us a few more moments to love on you guys. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is putting in that 90 seconds of overtime. He's giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered flag at the top of the hour. This is the fastest half hour in racing. 30 minutes, buckle up. We'll have you caught up on all the news in the world of motorsports. Now, a big hello to everyone joining us on Racers Reunion Radio. We are heard on SpeedwayReport.com and RacersReunion.com. There's tabs right there. You can listen to us on the radio broadcast. If you'd like to see my pretty face, we're also streaming on Facebook Live and the Racers Reunion site. You can head on over to the Facebook page. It's called Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, kind of appropriately named, according to the sign in the background here. Or go to RacersReunion.com and click up top to the TV/radio tab. You're right here. You can listen to us or watch the TV broadcast. Now, by the way, if you are on our Facebook page, title again, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, we'd appreciate if you give us a like. More likes on the page, more people interact, more we talk with you. We really like that a lot. And our broadcasts are archived at SpeedwayReport.com. Go on the top ribbon of our website and just hit the TV button. Ba-boom! There we are. Anytime, all day, all night. And just to round out that social media blurb that I'm babbling about, you can tweet me directly, and my handle is at SpeedwayPat. Yeah, I like to bench race 7 days a week, not just on Monday nights. So welcome to everybody. Thank you for joining us. Let's go with the Speedway Report Victory Lane Lap and tell you who won what, as we're in mid-February. Yeah, it's on. Green flags out. There's a lot of racing to catch us up with. First time I get to say this, a little bit of reporting going on from the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. That will take a little bit of rehearsal this year to get used to. They are down in Daytona Beach, Florida, and the clash, the name returned, the race returned. The 20-lap distance did not. It was still 75 laps with the break at 25. Rained out on Saturday night, postponed until Sunday morning. The clash was won by Joey Logano. Later on yesterday afternoon, they held Daytona 500 time trials, and the front row is set. Chase Elliott will be on the pole, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. on the outside of the front row for this Sunday's Daytona 500. NASCAR's K&N Pro Series East Tour opened their season on the high-banked paved half-mile in New Smyrna Beach, Florida. Last night, they ran the Jet Tools 150. Ronnie Bassett Jr. took the checkered flag. Now, the Lucas Oil late models were busy on the dirt. Matter of fact, a lot of dirt tracks were busy down in Florida, but Lucas Oil have run straight through just about since we last saw you on the air. Except for Mother Nature, they would have run every single night. Let's back up the week to when you last saw us on Monday evening. They were at the East Bay Raceway in Tampa, Florida. Ran most of the week there. Monday night's feature was won by Brandon Shepard. On Tuesday, Josh Richards was your winner. Wednesday is where Mother Nature gave them a break. That event was rained out and was canceled. Will not be made up. On Thursday evening, Tim McCready took the checkered flag. On Friday night, Scott Blomquist was your winner. And Saturday night was rained out and also canceled for the Lucas Oil Tour there. But last night, the Lucas Oil late models towed over to Bubba Raceway Park in Ocala, Florida. Great feature here. Shepard passed Blomquist on the final lap for the win and a pass that brought the crowd to their feet. Anytime Bloomer pretty much gets stopped in these big late model races, the fans are either pulling for him or against him. No one's quiet. So Brandon Shepherd, your winner last night. They've got a very big week planned in Florida as well with the Dirt Late Models at Volusia County Speedway. And yes, we'll talk a lot more about Volusia very shortly. The World of Outlaw Late Models ran at the Screven Motor Speedway in Sylvania, Georgia. Friday night's feature was won by Rick Ecker and Saturday's by Chris Madden. The World of Outlaw Sprints competed at Volusia Speedway Park in Barbourville, Florida. Friday night's feature was won by Jason Johnson. Saturday night was rained out, but not canceled. They just postponed it until Sunday and ran a doubleheader yesterday, one in the afternoon and a complete program at night. Didn't matter to Donnie Schatz as he won both the afternoon Saturday makeup as well as the scheduled nighttime A-Main feature last night. The ARCA series, they were also on the high banks of Daytona Beach, Florida on the Super Speedway. Austin Terrell driving for our good buddy Ken Schrader. Ken Schrader racing car, he took the checkered flag in the ARCA 200. Now, my Northeastern Pavement Modifieds have made their way to Florida. Typical stop at New Smyrna Speedway all this week. They made an early stop at the Bronson Speedway over the weekend where they ran a 50-lap main event. Jimmy Zacharias took the checkered flag there. New Smyrna Speedway, down the road from Daytona in Florida, began their mini speed weeks on their track on Friday night. Spencer Davis was your winner of the Super Late Model feature. Saturday night's race was rained out. It's pretty much rain took care of a lot of action in Florida as far as motorsports went. And I told you about the K&N race that ran last night. Speedweeks picks up again tonight at the track. Oh, about 5 minutes ago at 7:30, they were supposed to take the green flag for their first feature event of the night. Their Speedweeks picks back up. They've got the Super Late Models, Pro Late Models, Florida Mods, and Tour Type Modifieds on the docket for tonight at New Smyrna. Good, healthy 23 Modifieds, Tour Type Modifieds, have been signed in for tonight's 50-lap feature. Way to go, guys, to support that show towing out of the Northeast. Wrapping up the action on the dirt at Volusia Speedway Park, the Friday night modified race was won by Nick Hoffman. Saturday, we said, already documented. That got rained out. And Sunday's mod race was also won by Hoffman. Last weekend up in Greenville Pickens, South Carolina, ran some super late models up there with the Greenville Meltdown. Kyle Platt was your winner. Young Charger up there, biggest win of his career so far. How big? $10,000 big last weekend in the afternoon, opening the season at Greenville Pickens, a historic track on the NASCAR Tour. Now we'll jump into what I would call the hot topic of the weekend. Not a great story, but a very serious one, so let's talk about it. The crash that made some headlines at the Volusia Speedway down in Florida last night, a tangle between Dale Blaney and Rico Abreu saw the car of Blaney tumble up into the air off of turn two through a fencing and into the pit area, injuring some spectators. Not the first time this has happened. Let's back it up to last Friday night, where a sprint car also went out of the ballpark in the same spot, turn two. Fortunately, no one was injured. However, Dale Blaney, recap, went out of the track last night, did injure some spectators. What we have the information so far, the latest update that I have, Michael Brooks, age 68, was flown, and then two others, Kelly Koyski and Gary Streak, were taken by ambulance, all three, to the Halifax Medical Center in Daytona Beach for treatment. Koyski and Streak were driven there in the ambulance. Brooks was the one who was flown. Now, Brooks was critically injured, and Koyski is in stable condition, Volusia County deputies have last reported. Now, Streak is of the United Kingdom, and he was released from the hospital already. Nicholas Hurd is a fan of ours on the Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds' Facebook page, and he made some comments on there today. He was an actual witness. He stated he was a witness to this event, and he was at the track last night in Volusia County. He was in the small grandstand section that were in that area that people were talking about off of turn two, which is actually located in the pit area, not in the main grandstand area. And he said Blaney's car came to rest about 40 feet away from where he was. And in his words, I'll quote him, what he said on our Facebook page, a horrible sight. I asked him if he could tell the specific injuries, what he saw with the fans that were injured there. He said he really didn't have a good look, that a lot of people were around the car, emergency workers, onlookers, what have you, I assume were there. So he did not get – it was a horrible sight what he saw were his words, but no, he couldn't add any added information than what we already knew or were hearing off of police reports and the internet. So prayers continue for all involved around that. Now, I do want to talk about a little bit what I just said, as well as some of how the media covered it. I did see a headline several times, not just one, race car goes into stands at Volusia Speedway. I'll quote that and I'll say it again. Race car goes into stands at Volusia Speedway. This was incorrect. Now, I'm not trying to make light of this tragic situation, very serious and dangerous situation, but that headline is simply incorrect. First of all, I watched the video of the crash, and I did see Dale Blaney's car hit with Rico Abreu go up in the air, over the wall, out of the ballpark, into the area that they described. However, it did not go into the grandstand. What that area is, I've been to Volusia County before, not for several years, but that is a pit area where they were. And those small set of bleachers set up are for people to watch the cars on the track, most notably designed for crew members. And as you well as you know, as well as I do, people do attend the races in the pit area. You can do that. You know how it goes. You sign a waiver saying you waive your rights for injury, for suit, what have you, when you sign into the pit area. That absolves the speedway of any wrongdoing or negligence when you enter the pit area. Now, where it goes from here, who knows? I won't comment about that. But Nicholas Hurd was on our Facebook page, and I thank him for his input and what he saw in contributing to the story here. But basically, the headline said race car goes into the stands at Volusia Speedway. No, it did not. Don't want to make light of the people that got injured, the people that were scared, the people that this affected. My thoughts are with you, and I wish you all for the best. But in this day and age, when fake news is a trigger word, which side of the fence you're on, whether you're for it, against it, politically aside, politics aside, that's not what we're going to get into here. But that term is spread all over social media with regards to all kinds of stories, including this one here. I'll quote it again. Race car goes into stands at Volusia Speedway. No, it did not. There was a small group of stands nearby that Nicholas Hurd was watching the race at, so he states, and the race car didn't go into them. It came near them, went into the pit area, and injured some spectators that were standing nearby, but this was on the opposite side of the track from where the public grandstands are. Excuse me, where they sell general admission tickets and where people are seated for the event, the spectator area. That's on the front stretch of the track, like most oval tracks, that runs from turn 4 down to turn 1. Then the pit area is on the turn 1 and 2 side. There you go down a hill, and there's a pit area away from there. There's also an old oval paved track off of turn 4 in that area. They use that for a pit area as well. That's where the Dale Blaney sprint car wound up. That headline that I saw several times on Twitter and Facebook and whatnot spread over the internet, race car did not go into the stands, no. Injured spectators, yes. Went into the grandstands at Volusia County, no. Inaccurate statement, false reporting. Now, I would like to read you a statement released today from the Volusia Speedway. On the incident, they released that middle of the day today. I'll quote this right here. I'll read it verbatim. Volusia Speedway Park staff and management worked through the night Sunday to provide support to the family and friends of the participants involved in the incident in the pit area outside of Turn 2 during the World of Outlaws feature event portion of the program, and to further evaluate all aspects of the situation. Prior to the 46th annual running of the Dirt Car Nationals, the safety measures in place at the Speedway have done their job. Under its current ownership since 2005, no race car has compromised a catch fence at the Speedway. The safety arrangement in turns 1 and 2 at Volusia Speedway Park includes an earthen reinforced steel guardrail on the racing surface, a buffer area, and a cable reinforced steel catch fence. The catch fence protecting the pit area at the exit of turn 2 utilizes a different configuration than that which is used around the balance of the facility. As a result, in addition to repairing the catch fence, the pit area closest to the racing surface in turn 2 will be closed to all competitors, participants, and officials for the remaining 6 nights of racing. While not affected by the incident Sunday night, a small set of bleachers intended for use by competitors and crew members that would have fallen within the restricted area has also been removed. Our thoughts and prayers are with the members of the racing family injured Sunday night, and we are encouraged by the reports of the excellent care they are receiving at Halifax. This is from Brian Carter. He's the CEO of Volusia Speedway Park. We have implemented additional safety measures and are very proud of our emergency medical personnel for their response to the incident. So I look at that and I think of that statement. Think about short track safety. And I read this as well as far as the fencing at Volusia County. It's been over 10 years since I've been to the Volusia Speedway on that dirt track. And I'll go back to Mr. Hurd's statement on the Speedway Report Facebook page. I did ask him about the fencing at Volusia. I said, what is it? You know, can you tell me that? He says mostly just kind of like a catch fence, like a chain link fence at that point in the Speedway. The release that comes from Volusia kind of states it's something else. It's much more reinforced in a sturdier structure. A lot of us are used to professional motorsports facilities, both on the NHRA side, the NASCAR side, the IndyCar side, where they have these towering catch fences that are reinforced with very thick steel cables, which can have and will stop a race car at 200 miles per hour. Yeah, there's a lot of damage and it shreds it apart, but it does stop it and the car does not go into the grandstand area. A chain link fence will not do that. So that is, you know, hearsay from what I have that the fencing at Volusia looks like, at least in that area where the Blaney car went over the wall. Even newer tracks, newer short tracks have much better reinforcement. Kind of think of this as safer barriers. There's very few short tracks in America that have the safer barriers, but I don't think there's an area on the super speedways, especially where stock car racing is concerned and IndyCar racing is concerned, where there is not a safer barrier. And it gets into cost, realistic application of these, and what kind of budget you have. They're very expensive on a super speedway. I don't think they get any cheaper on a short track level. So that's a very realistic possibility that cost is a factor here. Not saying that safety should not be the number one priority, but a safer barrier has to be realistic. That catch fencing also has to be realistic as well. You look at a short track and compare them in general, because most people do that. They compare Major League Professional Super Speedway racing on Sunday afternoon with a local short track and wonder, well, why doesn't the short track have the basic safety features that you would find on Sunday afternoon? Brings me back around to the Canandaigua Speedway in New York State in August of 2014, the Tony Stewart, Kevin Ward incident. I don't bring this topic up for sensationalism. I bring it up for safety-wise and to make a point. There was a lot of video, much like the Dale Blaney incident, of Tony Stewart and Kevin Ward. And there was a repeated phrase said when it came to that, a dimly lit track. I take dimly lit to mean you cannot see very well. I disagreed with the dimly lit factor of Canandaigua, and I questioned the fencing at Volusia County. Again, the same comparison. We are used to television. We are used to professional super speedway racing on Sunday afternoons. That doesn't necessarily apply to a short track. On television, when we watch, you know, our NASCAR stuff on TV, or we see the lighting there and is very well lit. These are million-dollar operations with Musco lighting. They're lit specially for television. A short track is not lit for television, and very few of them have Musco lighting. That does not mean they're dimly lit. When you video anything, it looks different in the video than it does in real life. I have been to Canandaigua before. It is lit fine for a short track. The video you see of Tony Stewart and Kevin Ward, it does look a little dark when you compare it to the super speedway lighting that the Musco job does at Daytona, Charlotte, Atlanta, any place like that. This fencing, I think, falls under the same category at Volusia County. Is it fair to compare the fencing at Volusia to the fencing of a super speedway catch fence just down the road at the Daytona International Speedway? Safety aside, I don't think it's fair. You're comparing a different cost budget. Scientific development actually comes in here. A same safer barrier that works at Daytona will not work at, say, a short track of Stafford Springs in Connecticut. Same theory. A fencing and cable reinforcement that works at the Daytona International Speedway will not necessarily work at the Volusia Speedway on a short track. Best thing to do, if you go to Volusia, which I somewhat intend to later this week, read that release when you go to the pit area. If you don't like it, do not sign in. Volusia, if you don't have an area that's properly protected, which this area does not sound like it should, you're being retroactive and keeping people out of that area. Maybe you should have done that beforehand. I'm 700 miles away, 500 miles away, whatever I am. I'm going by a lot of second and third hand information. I don't know. I'm not on site. But that fencing, I think a lot of people throw the short tracks under the bus too quickly because they compare them with oval track super speedway racing. That's my point. Don't jump and hammer on that short track saying woulda, shoulda, coulda when we're comparing that to the big tracks of NASCAR, ARCA, IndyCar, Formula One, what have you. Sometimes it's just not realistic to have a knee-jerk reaction and get that done. Some bad news turning good news. We'll go over to the Daytona International Speedway. Justin Fontaine, he brought out the final yellow and then finally red flag at the ARCA 200 Saturday afternoon. Suffered a compression vertebra fracture during that race when he rolled over, brought the field to a red flag and eventually the checkered flag where Austin Theriault was given the win. But he was released yesterday from the Daytona Hospital. So Justin Fontaine, a vertebra fracture, compression, but released and sent home. If you are in the Daytona Beach area, might I suggest the Back to the Roots Awards Brunch tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m., Main Street Station. There's a place in Daytona that's got more France family history. I'm not sure, but if you're in the area, you're looking for something to do Tuesday morning, head on over to the Main Street Station at 10:30 a.m. USAC star John Stanborough's final full-time year will be this year behind the wheel of a sprint car. He didn't say retirement. He said final full-time year. Gives him a little wiggle room to race in the future. He will not compete in USAC's Florida races later this week. That's a planned move. I think it's not to suck him into a points battle. He can kind of ease off his schedule a little bit. First time I met John Stanborough, very gracious, Terre Haute, Indiana, May of 2009, he just end over end flipped down the front stretch at the Terre Haute Speedway half mile. He still had the grace to talk to me for an interview after that crash. Pocono Raceway's July weekend will have cup qualifying and the 400-mile race on the same day. Qualifying at noon on that Sunday afternoon in July, green flag for the 400-miler, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Also today, an amazing world of coincidence, Roger Penske, Mark Donahue, and Bobby Unser all share the same birth date. How have I never come across that before? And if I have, I forgot about it. I apologize, but that's some pretty neat coincidence there. Darn near Kennedy Lincoln all over again. But as we close out tonight, a little gratuitous plug. Speedway Reports magnet right here. Look good on the beer fridge while you're out there in the shop. These would look good on the family truckster, going on the bumpers, going down the road as you're taking the kids to school. Message me your address. We'll take care of the cost. They are free. We've got them actually spreading out over the country quite nicely, and that does not just include my mom, who was also nice enough to get a few as well. Everyone in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, speedwayreport.com. Our Speedway Report TV replays are now posted on the site. On the top ribbon, click on the TV button, and you can watch tonight's show as well as archived programs. We also have columns from Vicki Miller, Steve Zonger, Paul Bluffus, and me. Coming up this weekend, I will be heading to Daytona, covering the 500 and the Xfinity and Truck Series races. As I talked about Volusia, we'll see what short tracks I can make it to as well. Check into SpeedwayReport.com, and you can keep track of my shenanigans. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for the production work this evening. You can hear more from Jeff and our Racers Reunion family tomorrow, Tuesday night at 7 Eastern Time on Racing Through History. Don't forget that Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern Time. Big thanks to everyone on the Racers Reunion chat room for tuning in. Great to be part of everybody's family. And I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. And a special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Don't go anywhere. BP, JB, and BS are coming up at the top of the hour on Racing and Rockin' with draglist.com. A reminder, please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back in 1 week with news from New Smyrna, Volusia, Florida Speedweeks, and the Daytona 500. Thank you all for joining us on Facebook Live, Racers Reunion Radio, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night.